Hi, I'm Werner Trollier for Optometry Times, and this is 10 questions for Catherine Schutz, OD, optometrist at Little Eyes in Carmel, Indiana. Where did you grow up?
I grew up right here in central Indiana. We actually moved from Pennsylvania when I was 7 years old, and we have been in Naptown pretty much my entire life.
Where did you move in from Pennsylvania?
Western Pennsylvania, like west of like Sharon. All my family's from Greenville, which is a tiny little town there.
What did your parents do?
My dad is a Presbyterian minister, and my mom has been a secretary. So they both went to college in Pennsylvania, and then we moved out here again when my dad took a church in Indianapolis. Preacher's kid.
Yes, and the many stories that they can tell. Oh,
that's
boy.
Right, that's right. We can bypass all of those.
Well, you know. So why pediatric optometry?
I have been really fortunate to just enjoy every aspect of optometry, truly. I worked as primary care practice for the first several years of my optometry career, and then I worked for a LASIK center part-time while I was still working at a family practice. I enjoyed that LASIK part. I've always enjoyed disease, and always when I came out of school, kind of being the low man on the totem pole, you tend to see a lot of the pediatrics. Well, I liked it. You know, I think it's fun, and I enjoy kids. And so it just kind of became a natural niche for me. I like different specialties, and I felt good and confident with the pediatrics. So when I moved in 2009 to the current primary care office that I'm in, we talked about, you know, at some point doing a spinoff of just a pediatric office. And that finally came into fruition in 2015.
Now, you went to school and got your undergrad, I think, was in biology. What led you into optometry? Was it the preacher's kid background?
It was not. I knew I wanted to do something in the medical field. So initially I thought nursing. And then when I was doing a college tour in Illinois, we went to the nursing clinical floor, and I had a moment of shallow self-realization that nursing involved bedpans. And I did not want to deal with bedpans. I went light bulb, and I started looking at alternative options. I know myself, and I knew I didn't want to do surgery, so I looked at, you know, cardiovascular perfusion and physical therapy, and I stumbled truly into optometry. I talked to a friend of a friend who really enjoyed his career as an optometrist, and that's what got me interested. So I was a sophomore in college before I even considered optometry, because I don't wear glasses or contact lenses. I had probably two eye exams, you know, as a kid growing up. So I really was just given the gift of somebody telling me about optometry. And then I worked for an optometrist in Indianapolis a couple summers, you know, going through college and as a technician, and just really fell in love with the profession.
What are three things that you would advise new ODs who want to go into pediatric optometry?
Have the right motivation. It's not an easy task. If you don't have the right personality for it, your practice is not going to grow. And know your own personality and make sure that you can make that work with kids. You have to enjoy them, or you don't have to love kids. I'm not that person who goes up and wants to hold other people's babies or play with kids when I'm with a room of adults. Nope, I want the kids away. But I know clinically I can make kids feel at ease, and I can do my job quickly and professionally so that I can be a good doctor for children and make it fun. So knowing those qualities about myself, super important. Number two, surrounding yourself with staff that can do it, because we went through some different staff members at the beginning who are fabulous staff members. They're great technicians or opticians, but they're not meant to work with kids. And they thought they would be great at it because their skill set was so broad, but they really realized, nope, they did not enjoy working with kids. So surrounding yourself with the right people just makes a huge, huge difference. And then I guess the third thing would be just to be brave and courageous and go for it, because it's not an easy niche, if you will, of optometry. People are looking for it, but it's not, you know, selling $700 frames. You know, it's a very different mode of practice and a very different business model than a primary care practice. And you just have to be very prepared to understand what this is going to look like, because it's completely different than a vision therapy practice or very different than a primary care practice.
How do you go about putting children at ease?
I feel very fortunate that it kind of comes pretty naturally to me. I don't necessarily think about how to do it. You know, you ask them some questions about themselves. You joke with them a little bit. You know, for a four-year-old, sit down and say, oh, it's great to meet you. So you're 16, right? No, you're four. You know, they make them giggle a little bit. Don't put them on the spot. I don't like doing visual acuity first thing. We do some things so they don't feel right or wrong at the beginning. We're just looking at some cool things. I show them all my fun flashlights and show them everything that we're doing before we do it in a very natural flow so that it doesn't take all day. We don't have all day with kids, but if you can smile a lot and explain to them what you're doing in a non-threatening way, it's easy. I mean, I've had two kids that I really could not examine, and that's been in the course of 4 years that we've been open. We've never had to reschedule anybody because it goes well.
What do you do for downtime?
I wish I had some.
Yeah, everybody does.
No, at the beginning, we had a lot, quite honestly, when we first opened. So we made a huge effort to make sure that we had our referral sources well knowledgeable about our practice. So we did a lot of meet and greets. We went to a lot of pediatrician offices, dropping off bagels, saying hello, telling people what we're doing, telling them, hey, we're not here to take away your referrals to your ophthalmology colleagues. We love and appreciate our local ophthalmologists, and we continue to refer patients who are appropriate to them. But hey, for primary care optometry, we do it far better, and our wait time is far, far less. So just getting out there and making friends with a lot of the pediatricians has been an incredible boost to our practice. Not only that, we do a boatload of school screenings. So if you can get in with one school nurse and do an amazing job with the school screening, then you'll have all those doors open to you. And then when you do that, again, if you can have a facility that will allow you to give the kid a sticker with your practice name on it, or give some kind of prize for doing a good job during the screening, or take home that says my kid did great during the screening, this is who did it. We've been very fortunate to get awareness of our practice through seeing, gosh, we probably see 1,700 kids in school screenings every fall. I mean, it's nuts. So there's not a lot of downtime, but when we have it, we fill it with marketing our practice and just making people who could refer patients to us more knowledgeable and just feel comfortable with us.
Yeah, but what do you do for downtime?
Oh, you mean when I'm not working? Sorry. Yeah.
No, that was a good answer too. That's an important part of building the practice, is strategizing.
Sorry.
Like that. But no apology necessary. It was an interesting answer. But, you know, what do you do for downtown?
Yeah, I do. I really enjoy my family, of course. I've got two kiddos, so we enjoy lots of things with their sports and activities. But I like to work out, I like to read, and I like a good nap. If I could get those three things on a regular basis, I am a happy camper.
Good nap. Oh, boy. Okay. What was the biggest challenge starting up Little Eyes, and how did you meet it?
I would kind of revert back to my last answer. The first one was awareness. People don't think about preventative care for their kids. They think about, oh, my kid complained that the board is blurry, and so I'm going to bring him into the eye doctor. We're very much I have a symptom, let's go see the doctor. So just our marketing campaign, just like dentistry has done such a wonderful job of, hey, no, you have to keep those teeth for your whole lifetime. Let's make sure they're developing the right way. That's been our main focus, is just letting people know that preventative eye care is just as important as, you know, your yearly checkup at the pediatrician or your once or twice a year visit to the dentist. So just the public awareness has been huge. We had the advantage of, when we started this practice, I'm part of the other primary care practice that now only sees adults, and this one sees pediatrics. So we could market to those parents But that was just our small office. So the real boost in awareness has been through schools and pediatricians. Daycare as well, I would say.
What do you consider Little Eyes' best practices to be?
We have an incredible dispensary. Our optician is wonderful. We have a lot of outside RXs come to us because we have a huge selection of frames. You know, most offices have one or maybe two boards of kids' frames. You know, we've got five times that, and we have such a great selection that we can fit most kids. So our optician is very, very good at fitting kids, because kids are not easy to fit with glasses. We have great selection, good expertise in that way. Our techs are just really good. They're fast and efficient, and they also do a wonderful job at making the kids feel comfortable. So between those two things, I mean, kids are just comfortable when they come in, and we have a great selection. Makes it really, really easy. In terms of the clinical stuff, one of the things that I think makes us stand out is our passion for myopia prevention. All these kids are coming in, and, hey, they're getting worse every year. And if we can talk to them about strategies to slow that down, that's definitely something that makes us unique and is lots of fun.
So with both monthly and biweekly contact lenses available, why a dailies only practice?
The benefits of dailies, as we know, are huge, and especially with my pediatric population, let's be honest, they're dirtier than we are. You know, they get in the dirt. They're outside. They've got friends who still pick their noses. I mean, there is a multitude of valid reasons that these kids should not be reusing their contact lenses, even with the best hygiene, you know. So it just makes a lot of sense for them to be in dailies. It reduces their risk so, so much. And they enjoy the convenience of it. There's certainly that aspect of it. But the main purpose is just to reduce the risk of contact lens-related complications.
Why did you add orthokeratology, and how has it changed your practice?
We added it because we knew the need was there in terms of the myopia prevention aspect. We also have such a, I guess, ripe practice population for ortho-K. It's kids who are getting worse, you know, and we're trying to slow that down. And they're motivated to try other things. Their parents have been nearsighted themselves, and they know what it's like to be a minus seven, and they don't want their kid to be a minus seven. So I had actually referred a few patients out, you know, over the first couple of years to a colleague locally, and I thought, this is crazy. I need to learn ortho-K. I need to become an expert and offer it to my patients. And so that's what we did.
What got you started in optometry leadership, and what keeps you engaged?
My passion for the profession. I mean, I really do think we have such a fabulous, fabulous job, and I like to lead but not be the leader. The leader is wonderful, but there's a lot of responsibility on that shoulder, and I know my personal limits, so I'm careful to help but not be. I'm never the president, man. I'll be one of the others. But I encourage those who do and will certainly help on a multitude of projects. So whether it's my local society or, you know, the state optometric association, I am always a part of it because I believe in the value, and I so appreciate the folks who, gosh, devote hours and hours of their time to bettering our profession. But I do things like iDoc, which is a wonderful buying group, and I'm a member director that's helpful in that way. And again, I feel like anything that we can do to help private practice docs particularly make it in this very competitive world is a great thing. So it helps the profession, kind of helps, you know, a lot of my colleagues, and I just get a lot of enjoyment from that.
Do you think over time you may overcome your reticence for taking on the big leadership responsibilities?
Maybe. You know, I like to have a really balanced work-life schedule, and I worked hard to maintain that. So I know if I try to do some of the other leadership things that I will lose my ability for, say, napping. And that's just not not a good deal for me at the moment. But no, I'm kidding about the nap. But,
yeah. Well, and how old are your children?
Yeah, they're 10 and 12 right now. So older, you know, we're still quite involved and needed for the most part. So, you know, in the next couple of years, yes, I definitely think my schedule will allow for some more opportunities in leadership roles for sure.
You live in or near Indianapolis, which is practically middle America. What got
Correct.
you involved in the global myopia problem?
Even though we are in the very, I don't want to say boring Midwest, I don't want to offend my fellow Midwesterners, but it's kind of a safe space. But we still see our fair share of, let's say, Asian population, and there is a huge amount of folks in the Asian population that are myopic. And so, since we see such a large portion of the myopes, in central Indiana that are pediatric, you just start looking into ways that you can help people. And for my whole career, it's been glasses and contacts, which it still is for the most part, but to be able to look at, the worldwide trends and see where they're going and say, well, how can I help my little piece of the world not become so myopic and learn more and do better for them? We do our part in myopia prevention from Indianapolis.
What's something you would change about optometry as it stands now?
Oh man, I live in a happy bubble, so I gotta be honest, I don't have a whole lot. We are in a gray area where there's very little animosity between ophthalmology and optometry. We all get along pretty well. Certainly, I would change the commoditization, of contact lenses and glasses. That's certainly a challenge for every single type of practitioner, whether they're practicing in Walmart or private practice. I mean, the more things are available online, it devalues what we're doing in our office, and it's a shame. I don't know that we can change it, but it's too bad that the trend is going that direction.
So, what's your guilty pleasure food? Not the practice's guilty pleasure food, but
Yes.
your guilt,
Yes.
your guilty pleasure food.
I have a horrendous sweet tooth. So on a regular basis, when we did our Cooper Best Practices photo shoot, we took a group photo with donuts. Like, that's how we roll here. So
Okay.
yeah, there's always something.
Now for the last question, we inflict this one on everybody. What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
I don't do crazy so much. I'm a
Oh, come on, you were a
risk-calculating
preacher's
kind of girl.
kid.
I know, but I was like the one who really didn't have the wild parties at night, really. I was a rule follower. I mean, honestly, the riskiest thing I've ever done was opening Little Eyes, because nobody does primary care pediatrics. That's crazy. You have to have a VT or be part of, an ophthalmology practice or surgery. So that's the crazy. I don't have crazy. Sorry, man.
Well, what was
I
it
did think
like?
about that one. I really
Okay.
did think about that one.
Well, what was the very first week like? Because like I said, I read that it was open cold, that you just kind of like moved in and said, "Okay, here we are." I mean, what did you do in that very first week?
Well, we did have, I had my current pediatric patients from my main office. So we
So you
had
had
those
some
patients. So we had, right, we had someone. We didn't have a lot, but we had someone. So we had, whatever the normal amount of pediatric patient population is in a typical practice, that's what I had starting, which was, I don't know, a couple hundred. But, they certainly didn't all need an exam that first week. So the first day was actually really busy. It was wonderful. Then a few weeks after that, oh, the crickets were chirping for sure. But, it was okay. We were able to figure out, our different roles in the office and go through our staffing placement, to make that as perfect as possible. So it was okay. I would say don't be afraid to open cold, because it gives you the time to figure it out the right way and not in front of a whole bunch of patients who are seeing you do it wrong. So
And now
it's
you're getting
okay.
ready to move.
And now we're getting ready to move, and so I'm sure we'll have, oh golly, our own set of issues, but at least we're at a better starting point than we were when we opened cold.
So
We should be.
when again are you going to be relocating and going through the whole opening?
Yeah, in about 2 months, we don't have our next grand opening day, but it should be, let's say, May of 2017 at the latest. Yeah. We did add another doctor to our practice this summer. She started in July with us, and it's been wonderful to have that for, again, just better patient availability, and it's just really, encouraging that we have grown. We've grown so much we need to add another doc. You know, that's pretty awesome.
Okay. Well, Catherine, that's all the questions I have for you. It's been great talking with you today.
Oh, thank you. I wish I were more eloquent, but, you know, I do. We all have our strengths.